Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
You know, somebody was... We were talking about all the comebacks in the NBA. It's kind of the new world of the NBA, man. No lead is safe. 28 points. Remember the Anthony Simons comeback?
Yeah.
28.
Without that, you run into Golden State in the second round, and well, you know, that's the end of that.
They would have beat him.
that would have been the difference?
Yeah, because they would have had Durant.
The second round. yeah, Durant. Well, he would have gotten hurt in what game?
Oh, you think he would have gotten hurt still?
Game five.
Nah, he wouldn't have gotten hurt, and Blazers would have cruised through them.
Well, Golden State did. They put out a press release today saying that Durant is likely not going to play in the first game of the NBA Finals. But Cousins is possible for that one. They said that both, they're hopeful that both will play at some point in the finals, but it sure sounds like DeMarcus Cousins closer to coming back than Kevin Durant is.
All right, well, somebody brought up Myers Leonard because he was a talking point, particularly here in the playoffs, and he's an interesting player because he's not, I mean, and this isn't a shot at him, he's not like the most skilled guy. He's got size and girth. And
he tries hard.
And yeah, so he's interesting. When we're talking about all these comebacks and, like, you know, the pace of play and all the threes in the NBA now, he's a great example. Like, what would that guy have been 15 to 20 years ago? What type of player?
Yeah.
Because he's standing out there chucking up threes, looking like he does, 7 feet one or whatever they list him at.
And he's put together. He's like a rock.
He makes them.
And you would love to see.
Or Brooke Lopez is standing out there chucking threes. Like, yeah. I saw a stat that said Shaq. I'm gonna pose a question to you guys.
Okay.
I saw this stat the other day and blew me away, although it shouldn't. How many shots outside of 15 feet did Shaq make in his career?
Outside of 15 feet? I don't know. He played a long time. Shots outside
I'm assuming
of 15.
It's gonna be shockingly low, so my guess is gonna be something like 10.
I was gonna say like 50, maybe?
Four.
Four?
Four.
How many did he attempt?
I don't know.
Did he ever attempt a three?
Four.
Four.
Hold on. Now I got to look at Shaq's stats. Yeah. I'm not saying made. Numbers. I'm saying did Shaquille O'Neal ever attempt a three?
I can't imagine he did, but maybe he did once. Maybe I don't know.
Shot clock running out. Quick
half
heave.
Quarter?
Yeah.
Or something. But it's just a different world, you know? Like that guy, and then the question about Myers Leonard, flip it. What would Shaq be if Shaq were in middle school right now? Same player.
Yeah.
What does he turn into in today's game?
Well, Embiid is still a bit of a back-to-the-basket guy.
Yeah, they're out there for
Jokic,
sure.
Jokic, he a bit of a hybrid, but I mean, he shoots the three too. Gasol shoots the three. I'm trying to think of a true back-to-the-basket sort of guy. There's not many. I mean, there's some hybrids, like even Nurkic is a bit of a hybrid. He doesn't jack a lot of threes, but he's not necessarily a back to the basket. There's very like Shaq exclusively worked on the low block.
So do you think Myers Leonard, and rightly so, I mean, with his size, here's what would be happening with Shaq. If Shaq were in today's game, at his size, we'd all be lamenting how much he shoots from the outside. We would. We'd be like, why does he do that? Like, he cannot be stopped under the basket.
He's just so big that it wouldn't matter. He would have to play underneath the rim.
Well, that's what I mean. Myers Leonard, you would think, would be that way.
Yeah, but I mean, Myers Leonard is put together, but Shaq was an entirely different animal.
Yeah, he was.
Shaq was like if Myers Leonard ate Yusuf Nurkic, and you would have that. By the way, this is interesting. So I'm looking here, and he never made a three in his career. Shaq
did. Did he try?
There was one, or I'm looking here, there were 2 years where it says 3 points attempted and it says 0.1. So I don't know what that means. In 1994 and then again in 1997, 3-pointers attempted, it just says 0.1.
Well, so, that's averages, right?
Yeah, but...
So he took very few.
Yeah.
Like very, very, very...
Yeah.
Very few.
So for his career, he shot, according to this, but he would have had to make one, right? Because it says that his 3-point percentage was for his career is 0.05.
Yeah, he that means he made one.
But I'm looking here throughout, and I'm on Basketball Reference, and I'm looking at 3-point field goals, and it never, it's all 0.00000.
Hmm.
According to this, the two stats don't add up.
Well, the point is he never shot outside of 15 feet.
No.
And he made 4 of them. So whether that's he was 4 of 15 or 4 of 20 or 4 of 4, it doesn't, like, it's just the point is, and you're right, that guy was a totally different animal. But you wonder, does Myers Leonard, is his career better or worse off because he came along when he did?
Okay, so this didn't include the postseason. So this was the discrepancy because I have his total numbers. Shaq attempted 22 in his career.
Threes?
22 threes he attempted.
And he made one.
Made one. He was 1 from 22 from behind the arc in his career, and that includes the postseason.
So is Myers better off now? Like, is a Myers Leonard in the league because he can shoot the three? Or is Myers Leonard a really good back-to-the-basket player 25 years ago?
I think he would have been better off the other way. I think he would have been better off because he's got athleticism and he can play with both hands. I would have loved to have seen what he could have been working with, like, an Akeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing sort of mindset.
Hey, man, the skyhook.
Yeah, he's got it. If you watch him down there,
he can flip up a skyhook.
He can flip it up with both hands. He's not unskilled down there. It's just that it's not, you know, they'll never run an offense through him. It's not like you ever throw the ball to Myers Leonard in the post and let him go to work. Right. He's exclusively either a pick and roll guy or he shoots the three. And you just don't get those sort of opportunities anymore. And I think a guy like that, I think his career is better off if he plays, you know, he's 7 feet, probably what, 260, 250, and he's shredded. You would think that if he could develop a back to the basket sort of game with his quickness, God, you would think that he would be a force under there.
There is video and thanks to the listeners who pointed this out. There is video of Shaquille O'Neal shooting a three.
Is it bad?
And it's his make. And he's in Orlando. And yes, it's horrible. And
But it goes in?
Yeah, he makes it. It's at the end of a half or something, or a quarter or a half. And so the clock's running down, and he's dribbling out there, kind of like where Damian hit his game winner against Oklahoma City. He chucks one up. It goes in. 1 of 22.
Oh, yeah, I see it right here. That's his one.
That's it.
That's his one make.
Pretty good form, huh?
So it wasn't as if like that was set up. He just, it was a desperation sort of thing. I'll tell you what though, for all the talk of Shaq just being some sort of like goon, that dude was a ballerina down below. He had great feet. He could run the break. He could dribble. Shaq was way more skilled with the ball in his hands than anyone ever gives him credit for. Especially,
yeah, he wasn't just blunt force trauma.
No, and the Laker days, you remember where he? I bet you he played in L.A. at 330, 340 when he was with the Heat the 1 year, and then earlier in his career, he was below 300 pounds and was pretty nimble. He just got to the point in L.A. where he figured out, hey, I can be 330, and literally no one can get in my way.
That's true. There was a less fat Shaq.
Yeah.
He was more Dwight Howardy.
Yes, and it was a way more athletic Shaq, and he had that great drop step, and he could finish with the hook. Hmm. It's just that when he was in L.A., when he was committed to being that size, and when that was a good 330, when he was in shape, I do not believe there has ever been a player in the NBA that was like that. He was so big and so fast and just the raw power. And three straight, you know, titles and three straight MVPs. Well, finals MVPs.
All right. Action Network did a little look at when online sports gambling will come to each state, and we'll tell you what they say about Oregon and Washington, but that will be next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, in the news is coming up next. Did a man climb a crane yesterday? We have selfie deaths. A lot to talk about. But saw a story from Action Network. They're a gambling sort of site group thing.
that was well done.
That's where Darren Revelle works now,
gambling,
right?
Gambling, it's sort of, yeah. Yeah, I think that's Darren Revelle.
He works there.
Yeah, he's their face, if you will.
That little dork.
He is a weird little man. I'm telling you, watch him do anything remotely athletic.
Well, he is. He's a dork.
Describe Darren Revelle without using the word little.
Dork.
Nerd.
There you go.
Dork, nerd, dweeb, whatever.
Dweeb.
Wow.
Well, he is. He's cute, but he's...
He's awkward.
He's just... God, he's a little...
Can't say little.
He's just a nerd. Nerdy guy.
You can't help but say little, can you? Both of you said it. The first thing you described him, little.
Well, he's pocket-sized, right? You put him up, and he's like a little Yoda backpack. Throw him in there.
So they did a comprehensive thing on when online sports gambling will come to Oregon and Washington, which is great. Because as it's being legalized around the country, which it is already legal in 11 states. I don't know if you know that, but 11.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people knew it was that many.
Keep waiting for the national law to just come down.
And the way it works is, like, if you're in Nevada, if your phone is in Nevada, you can, like, say you're staying at the Wynn and you're out golfing and you want to place a sports wager, as long as you're in Nevada, you don't even have to be at the Wynn Sportsbook. You can just go to their app and place a bet right through there.
Yes. You just can't do it. You can't be like in Texas or in Oregon or whatever and place one in Nevada. Even if it's legal in Oregon and it's legal in Nevada, you still can't do that. You have to be in the state.
So Nevada has it, New Jersey, Montana, New Mexico, Mississippi, Iowa, Indiana, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Delaware. All legal already.
Yeah.
Then they have four states where it's projected in 2019, and Oregon is one of those. So Oregon, Arkansas, Tennessee, five states. Oregon, Arkansas, Tennessee, New York, and New Hampshire. They're expecting it by next year.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, because if you sports bet on like the offshore stuff, it's a pain in the ass, because if you ever want to cash out of your account, which is probably rare, because when you have money in there, you generally just eventually
lose it, and then you have to restock the coffers.
But if you want to yank money out of there, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, like even if you live in the state of Washington, like you can't even do it. Like I was lucky because you have the Oregon address as well, but there's problems with even some states even signing up for an offshore account.
So they're saying next year, but Oregon Lottery is saying that, and they were on the Fan not too long ago, mm-hmm. with Dirt and Sprague, and they're saying it'll be this fall. They're going to try to capitalize by NFL.
They're going to roll it out for the college. Well, no, not college. Right?
No, I think NFL.
Just the NFL. I think they said specifically they're not doing college.
Yeah, no, but also NBA, NHL would be next after the NFL.
Which is great.
My dream is to just be able to go to an NBA or an NFL game or a college football game and being able to sit in the stands and on your phone from your seat place wagers. I think that would be fantastic.
A novel concept, isn't
it? Yes. Sitting there and then all of a sudden, like, your team's down by 7 and you look at the odds, you're like, all right, let's see what happens here. I'll take some second half action on that.
I'd love for there to be a sports book somewhere downtown so that on Saturday, instead of just like going out for dinner at night, you go to the book, have some food, and put some money on a game.
I would say that is one of the best things to do in Vegas if you're just killing some time, right? And you're running a little short on dough, or, you've done all the nefarious crap that you're going to get into. You can do a lot worse than sitting around on a Saturday or a Sunday and sitting out at Caesars or whatever sports book you want, grabbing some food, some beverages, and just watching the games. It's fantastic. And the best part is you end up betting on stuff that you don't even care about. I remember me and my buddy were down there, and they're like, what, the A's and the Reds are playing? Oh, yeah, what's happening? Ah, sure, let's lay a sawbuck down on this.
And then once you lay a sawbuck on it, you pay attention to every little thing.
Yeah, you live and die with every pitch. It's wonderful.
And you suddenly know who plays for the Reds.
Yeah, and you become an expert in the Cincinnati Reds.
That guy's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, what the hell?
So let's say you take $200 and you bet it at the tables at a casino or whatever. You could be cleaned out in a matter of minutes.
Yeah.
Depending on how aggressive you are.
Sure.
Whereas if you take a couple hundred bucks and sit in the sports book
all day, baby,
you could be there all day for $200.
Yeah. You're putting small bets down. You could do that for a whole weekend.
You could do it for a long time. Yeah. So that's kind of the beauty of that. And then Washington, one of 14 states where they say there it is not in sight. No. There is just too much red tape still.
Wah, wah, wah. Washington, for all of our cool things that we do, look at our weed. Yeah, we're way behind on this whole gambling thing.
The human composting story from yesterday.
Yeah, we're on top of things out there in Washington, but not the gambling thing. I don't know. Someone please think of the children or something. And if we ever did get it legal in Washington, then the A&A people could get it going. We could have a sports book literally 25 minutes from downtown Portland.
The tribes. Yeah. I wonder what the tribes are doing behind the scenes to try to push that.
I don't know.
Because that's a big revenue stream for them if they can get it in there.
One would certainly think.
All right, coming up next, it's in the news. Thanks to one of our listeners gave your local noted newsman here a heads up. I've got an update on the verdict on the amount of money that was awarded the woman who lost her leg via TriMet.
That lady that proceeded to put her head squarely up her arse and run into a train.
Remember the jury gave her $15 million?
Yeah, but they said that she was not going to get it. I think they said it was between like $600,000 and $7 or $8 million what the depending on how the judge interpreted.
I have a number for you.
I hope it's low.
So we'll get to that to kick off the news coming up next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, sign up for the Fan Golf Classic. Do it. Presented by...
Do it. Do it.
Cooney Lexus of Portland.
Do it.
We're going to be out at Langdon Farms on June 24th and 25th. And the only, we have three different shotgun times for you guys, but the afternoons have both sold out. So the only times left would be the Monday morning shotgun at 7:30 a.m.
And I believe we only have like 10 or 12 of those left. So that will sell out as well. So every year we get people right towards the end are like, oh man, I wanted to play. We'll do it now because it's your last opportunity.
Yeah, foursome is $600. You split that amongst your bros and talk to anybody who's played in that event. It's a big bang for your buck.
Yeah, you get all your food. You get a couple beverage tickets. And believe me, with some of the sponsors, there's always more beverages to be had out on the course. Where you get like $50 to the pro shop there. It's you get that and then some.
And who's that? Who's the... is it Rebel Yell Vodka?
Rebel Yell's out there. And then... Rebel Yell is the bourbon. Pearl Vodka.
Yeah. They usually have a hot sitting out there.
And that's what I'm telling you. Like, you get your couple of beverage tickets, but there's plenty of action to be had out on the course as well.
And we're offering, although I don't know if this is finalized yet, but we are offering this year, new this year, because of Mike Lynch's screw-ups, we will be offering you the ability to buy an extra swinge.
Yes.
That's swing spelled S-W-I-N-J.
And you just keep that swinge in your bag and you break it out when you need it.
Yeah.
Because we can again, all use an extra swinge from time to time.
That idea coming again from about 3,000 miles away from Ryan Cooley, who works at WEEI in Boston, but somehow continues to contribute to our stupid station.
That's drum spelled D-U-R-M.
Wham-ya! Wham-ya! Now, that needs to be the code word.
Whamya?
Yeah. Spell that.
Well, if you want to play in our golf tournament, get your bros together. Spots are filling up fast. Monday morning is the last shotgun, 7:30, that is open. And you can buy your foursome directly online at 1080thefan.com.
And someone's saying, hey, when you do golf stuff, does it matter if you suck? No. You'd be terrible. Come on out.
As a matter of fact, I think we have a prize for worst team.
Yeah. Come on out. You'll get something. You don't have to be able to play. Mike Lynch, I believe, has never swung a golf club.
It's just a good time.
No, I've never played a round of golf.
Oh.
I have swung a golf club.
We have fun. It's at Langdon Farms, and that's great because Langdon Farms, nobody does tournaments like them. They're dialed in.
Yeah.
And the course is in great shape always.
Self-correcting fairways.
And they always say they love our tournament more than a lot of their tournaments. It's like it's you bros are great. They love you guys.
Yeah, we do it right.
So everybody, it's just synergy. It's good, man. You should get involved. Cooney Lexus of Portland presents the 7th annual Fan Golf Classic. Only a few foursomes left. 1080thefan.com. It is May 23rd, 2019. It's time for the news. I'm your noted newsman. Oops.
What do you got for me today?
Well, I forgot to get my holidays.
Ah, hell.
Sorry about that.
Oopsie poopsie.
One moment, please.
Did you say oopsie poopsie?
Damn right.
This is a day after Mike broke out tummy.
And panties.
We've now gone.
Broke out panties.
Yeah, tummy panties.
And moist.
Moist tummy panties.
Now, and squishy.
Now we've moved on to oopsie poopsie.
What do we have here? Looks like it's National Taffy Day.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm out on taffy as well.
Taffy.
Cares I like about saltwater taffy.
I don't necessarily dislike saltwater taffy, but I never want it.
The only time you want it is when you go out to the coast.
Yeah, I know, but like if you even then
buy a little baggie and have it in the car on the way home, it's great.
It's like you just do it because it's there.
Not what I do at the coast.
What do you do at the coast?
Coast stuff. I don't buy taffy.
Well, that is technically coast stuff.
I feel like when you said you do coast stuff, that's buying taffy.
It is.
That's the only
place. You go to
place.
Bruce's Candy Kitchen and you get some
there's
some chocolate and taffy on your way home.
If you're going to come up with like the four stereotypical things you do on the coast, buying taffy is one of them.
Well, that's not what I do when I'm out there, Jason. I'll tell you that right now, pal.
Again, I'm asking, what is it that you do then?
Can't tell you.
There's nothing nefarious unless you go underneath the boardwalk.
Oh, there's a lot of nefarious stuff out there.
Trust me.
Paya!
Paya.
It's also a National Lucky Penny Day.
That was a very reserved paya from Rob.
Lucky penny, huh?
You see a penny, pick it up. All day long, you'll have good luck.
Only today, though? I thought that was universal.
It's already
every day.
4:40, so.
No, it's National Lucky Penny Day.
Well, but I don't know. I don't really buy into that. Do you do that? Do you flick pennies into fountains and stuff?
No, I don't touch change.
And make wishes?
Change is the most disgusting thing in the world, and I sure as hell ain't bending down to pick up a penny.
Suk says change is beyond him.
No, I said change is disgusting.
All those $1,000 bags don't need change.
No kidding. You didn't you once declare that you threw away change?
Yes, I have thrown away change.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Not quarters. Quarters are important. I love quarters. But
that's
so if
change.
You get 37 cents back from you buy a Gatorade and they give you 37 cents
back. That 12 cents is going in the gutter.
I only want the quarter.
You will keep the quarter.
Yes.
And put the dime and the two pennies in the little penny jar thing.
The pennies for certain. And if I'm in my car, then the dime, because I have a little change thing, the dime will go in there. But yeah, the pennies, I'm like, no, just that's you. It's like, I like when they, hey, you want to round up to the Stars of Hope? Yes, I do. Because I don't want change back. Here, take it.
$15 million was what was awarded to the woman who lost her leg when she dashed in front of the MAX train in Beaverton.
What?
You remember that?
Yes,
you
but that's
bitched
not,
about that
but
story.
But that's not what she got.
No, it is not. As a matter of fact, there has been a ruling on how much she can actually receive here. The jury gave her $15 million in damages, but and her name's Amy Lang. And her attorney said that she should get about 58% of the verdict, which is $8.7 million, because they found that TriMet and its driver were 58% at fault.
So they
did the math and said, hey, well, then we should get $8.7 million.
I can't even begin to tell you how much the story bothers me.
So then TriMet said, well, wait a minute. There's an Oregon law that limits the tort claim liability of government agencies, entitling her to no more than $682,800. So a judge had to rule on that. And Multnomah County Circuit Judge Christopher Ramya. He ruled in favor of TriMet.
Yes. Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
He will not.
So she still made $682,000?
Yes.
Yes, but I bet you half of that is going to go to...
No, way more. All of it.
To the attorney.
No, she said... So she's pissed, and her attorneys are pissed because... excuse me. They say that her medical bills are over $800,000 already. Remember, she lost a leg here. So she is...
Don't run in front of a damn train.
She's... Well, I'm just saying her medical bills are high because she lost... You know...
Yeah.
That, you know, when you lose a leg...
Yeah, I'm guessing
that
that's
costs
not,
a little more than when you don't.
Yeah, I'm assuming so.
Stupid
medical
hospital.
Bills are expensive in general, but yeah, I'm sure the limb. I don't know what it costs to lose a limb. Well, that's free, but the wound care for losing the limb, very expensive.
Yeah, so, I mean, her leg was clean cut off by the MAX
train.
Yeah. We know that from the, well,
the video.
The video.
Yeah.
And there is video. If it weren't, would her bill be less or more?
Probably more.
Probably more, right? Because they got to remove it.
Yeah, even you got to like remove it or like repair you try to reattach it or whatever. Yeah. So yeah,
that's another 100 G's.
Probably.
You got to get a specialist on that.
Oh, yeah. That's not, I'm guaranteed that's not easy. Reattach.
Does she not have insurance?
It doesn't say. I'm
because
sure she
although
does.
That sucks for her, if this did not cover her medical expenses, I'm assuming you're going to go ahead and hit your deductible with your $200,000 extra.
That's a good point. But also, like, does insurance cover negligence?
Maybe she has a high deductible.
And this is the best text that I've seen so far. Betty, you say text line 55305. Stupidity is expensive, lady. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what you've been saying all along.
Yes.
Here.
Like, I'm not wishing her ill will. It just
well, she did already lose a leg, so.
Well, that's true.
Perhaps she's learned her lesson.
But
perhaps not.
$15 million for you being a dumbass and running into a train? It bothers me that no one wants to take any sort of accountability anymore for anything.
What do they do with the legs? Like, what do they do with...
Well, that's a good question. Hmm. You know, you're not allowed to keep, like,
legs?
Well, you're not allowed to keep things that are, like, taken out of your body. Organs or anything like that, tissue, you're not allowed to keep it. So I'm guessing
so you can't freeze it in the freezer no. like your grandmother did.
No, so I'm guessing.
What was the name of that cat?
Percy.
Percy the frozen cat.
Yes. Who has now been properly buried? It is someone else's problem. Like they sold
so,
the house.
So Max the frozen leg would not be.
No, you can't do that.
She can't hold under a leg just in case, you know, down the road technology.
No, I asked once. I had.
Well, what do they do? They pick up the leg. What do they do with it?
It's just like a medical waste disposal. Like yeah.
The bio.
Yeah, the biohazard.
Do they just dissolve it in acid or
right.
what?
Do they have to chop it up?
My guess is you probably like.
Do they feed it to the pigs?
Or? Like they cremate it. I'm sure it just gets. I'm sure, burnt. It just gets burnt.
Burnt.
Yeah. Burnt. But I do know that you are not allowed. Like if you have a kidney taken out or. Whatever you have a transplant surgery or anything, you cannot ask to keep. Whatever is taken out.
Well, it's getting pretty morbid on the text line. If the leg is still around, I need a lamp. Good grief.
Can't do it.
Can't do that, huh?
Nope.
Fragile.
I had a whole conversation about this with the doctor once. Because I had I had the piece of metal in my foot for like 6 months and I didn't realize it? Well, they had to cut that out and there was like a big like thing of scar tissue and I was like, oh my gosh, look at that. And they put it like in a little jar. And I remember asking, I was like, hey, can I have that? I'm like, that thing is gnarly. And he's like, no, like you can't do that.
No, you idiot.
And I was like, why not? I'm like, that's my foot. And he's like, no. And he got into this whole big thing about how you can't keep anything, any sort of organ or material or whatever. Got into like a big 10-minute conversation about it. And he said, no.
Fascinating. Well,
he said, paya.
Paya.
He did say paya. This guy says he's disposed of limbs before when he worked at a hospital.
Well, really? What did you do with them?
Tell us more.
Yeah. Text back in here.
Divulge more secrets.
Is there like a hand box and a leg box and then an arm box?
Is it a wood chipper?
You get thrown in all the same box? Is it a box?
Yeah, what happened?
The leg bones connected to the hip bone.
So there you go. She's not going to get 15 mil. She's going to get 700,000 and she's not happy about it. Coming up next, man climbs crane. What happened? Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
P1 Ryan reminds us of the 2015 documentary film Finders Keepers. Have you seen this movie?
No, but I always love like the Simpsons do this. I refer to the court case of Finders versus Keepers.
I think we've talked about this before, but it was the story of the guy who survived a plane crash. His father was killed. He survived, but he lost the bottom half of his leg.
Yeah.
And I don't know the whole story. I'll go back and read up on it. But it ended up in somebody's grill, like in their barbecue grill.
I do remember that. And he wanted it back.
He wanted it. So somebody bought it, the grill.
At a garage sale.
At a sale of a, you know, when they like a storage shed, storage unit.
Get paid.
Auction. And he opens the grill. This guy buys this grill. He opens the grill, and there's an effing leg in there. Well, the guy who owned the leg wanted the leg back, and the guy who bought the grill said no. He wanted to make a bunch of money off of it. He's like, no, dude, this is my ticket.
My leg now.
I found a leg in a barbecue. The whole this is going to blow up. There's a whole movie on it called Finders Keepers.
I remember the story that we talked about it, but I did not know there was a movie out there about it.
All right.
The guy said, by the way, the bro that worked at the hospital said they wrap it in a bunch of biohazard bags and then they put it in a container and burn it. So it does get incinerated.
What if there were just like an old stockpile of loose limbs?
Like they didn't get around to burning it?
We just didn't know about it.
I was waiting for that Frankenstein reattachment, that cadaver arm.
Can you imagine stumbling across that?
I think how cool it would be if you could do like an arm transplant. Like your arm's not doing any good. You saw that bad boy off and you get like a new and improved arm.
Next story comes to us from Southeast Portland, 2nd and Ash yesterday, where a man climbed a crane.
Yeah.
You know, we are in the top 5 in the country in a number of cranes that we have up.
A lot of cranes.
You look at our cityscape, a lot of building going on. And this guy, I don't know how this was possible. I guess, the crane was owned by Hoffman, but I thought that there was a way maybe that they sort of lock those down that people couldn't climb them, but...
Yeah, he just Spider-Man'd up to the top of it.
Yeah, he went all the way up 300 feet in the air. Like, he was way the hell up there.
Yeah, and like... There's not like a ladder to get up there, right? I mean,
he had to climb
the whole structure.
And then once you get up there, it's like an L and then a reverse L. And then once you get up there, you kind of walk the plank, so to speak.
Yeah.
And he was at the very edge of it, threatening to jump.
Now, I will tell you, that's really scary, but I guess if you want to jump, maybe it's less scary because you don't care if you fall.
Did you read this story at all?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so they got him.
They talked him down.
They got him down. Yeah, the crisis management team came out and they were using a megaphone down there to talk to him, and a bunch of people raised a banner saying "We love you and you matter," which I thought was pretty cool, cute. And then they also said, "Hey,
I'm impressed," because I saw the banner and they laid it out like on like the edge of the bridge or whatever on top of a building.
That's a nice thing to do.
Like, who comes up? Like, where do you find? Because that's like a big ass banner. That's like a big 40-foot banner. Does someone just have a spare "We love you" banner like hanging around? They're like, wait, I've got it. Like, who? Like,
well, maybe somebody had the forethought. They saw those cranes and was like, you know what? It's going to come in handy one of these days. Somebody's going to be up there threatening to jump. Let's make a banner.
Yeah, because there was the two. There was the one that said "We love you," and then there was the other banner that said "You matter," or you know, something
it said,
like
"We
that.
Love you" and "You matter."
Yeah, two banners.
Yeah.
So good.
I don't know if I don't know if that helped or
you
what
just
worked.
Keep that in the car, like in the emergency like section. Like, I got some road flares, I've got a spare tire, got some anti-suicide banners.
Well, they also tried to coax him down with Gatorade drinks. I don't know if you saw that part of it.
Now, was it the purple G2? Because you know what? That's a tasty beverage.
But they were like, hey, if you come down, we got some Gatorade for you.
Got some. If you try a diet peach tea Snapple, because that's also very refreshing.
So responders had to go up and get him. They climbed it too and went up there.
Yeah, and then but they were wearing like the safety harnesses and everything.
Yeah, but the guy just climbed down on his
own.
Yeah,
he was all right.
He was all right.
And then we got all the looky-loos out. A lot of binoculars, a lot of people standing around. And,
did you also read that when they got up there, he was on his phone?
No, I didn't see that. Who was he talking to?
He's sending a text or two.
Yeah.
Wrapping up some emails before he...
Well, you're not going to prison, right? He's just going to go...
I don't know what happens there. I'm sure a psych evaluation.
Yeah, you go to the hospital, probably.
You go to the hospital and hopefully get everything worked out. You know.
Yeah. Move on about your day.
Hopefully everything's on the up and up. Once again, if you are having those thoughts, don't climb a crane. There's numbers. People care. Reach out. You know, we'll send you a banner. You
matter. No question.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. That's all we have time for. I want to get to more, but I can't.
Yeah.
It's too late.
We're up against it.
That's your In the News for May 23rd, 2019. Coming up next, we have the Hot 5 at 5. Did Damian Lillard make the All-NBA first team? We will tell you next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.